Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Health insurance made easy through It's for Women.
Good day to all. It's Oliver on the air until 10. It is now Thursday, the 13th of March in 2025. And Micheál Martin will be waking up soon, feeling, I suppose, $50 billion of relief, I'd imagine. His dignity might have taken a bit of a shredding, but Donald Trump doesn't hate Ireland for the moment. And that is considered the best possible outcome as we look in the world on this Thursday morning. How are you getting on with the feuds going on in your life? The apparatus for the messages is open as ever. Do the usual thing on the WhatsApp. That's 087-032-3232. And on email, it's oliver@rte.ie. Yes, now don't you worry, we'll be taking you right out of the stress of world affairs with our guests this morning, because we're meeting a man from Donegal who is now a champion of Clare's rugged, wild and ancient landscapes. Donegal and Clare don't meet often in the championship, do they? This fella, Cormac McGinley, was a ranger for 10 years at the Cliffs of Moher and an expert zoologist, and he wants us all to fall in love with our Atlantic coasts as he has, whether it's in Donegal or in Clare, with particular emphasis on the Burren, often overlooked by visitors to our shores and maybe by people inside the shores as well. And if you want to follow Cormac, cormacscoast.com, by the way, before that chat, you'll see beautiful imagery of himself and his life and his dog and down in the country and just the nice world of nature that he lives his time in. And sure, we'll go for a lovely stroll together, won't we, among the wildflowers of the Burren, the radio version, that is. 51551 for your text as well this morning. Now, as we know, the US president, his first term, Donald Trump, he met Enda Kenny, he met Leo Varadkar in the Oval Office, and they didn't really strike up any noteworthy sense of warmth. But enter 2025, and the unlikely bromance of the year is Micheál Martin and Donald Trump. Whether you think that's a great thing or not so good, it is what's happening this year. It certainly started out strange. The 50 minutes or so in the Oval Office were quite uncomfortable viewing for the few people who watched the entire thing. I think the short clips don't quite capture just how difficult it was for the Taoiseach to, you know, sit in the right position in his chair and actually speak a full sentence. I think it was 20 minutes before he actually got his bit of speak in. You also miss, but if just seeing the clips on the news, how awkward Micheál's body language was for many times, shifting away in his chair. He found himself kind of smiling maybe too much at the wrong moments that Conor McGregor mentioned, saw the Taoiseach kind of shrinking back in his chair. Then the internet, of course, particularly the Americans, lit on the Rosie O'Donnell moment. When that was brought up, Micheál had no idea who Rosie O'Donnell is. He's probably thinking, is it Marigold? Someone from Marigold and Daniel? And that happened when quite a dumb question really came from a pro-Trump media pundit called Brian Glenn, who's the partner of the MAGA congresswoman and conspiracy spouter Marjorie Taylor Greene. Somehow he's a press pass for the White House. But he kind of laughed it off anyway. He did seem nervous at times. I think especially when it came to Ukraine and the Israel-Gaza situation, he reiterated that Ireland believes in the two-state solution. But he said it's becoming a little bit more difficult and challenging as time goes on. I thought there was a bit of a subtle shift in that language, but it didn't garner much commentary. And in his defence, he will talk up the fact that he mentioned the two-state solution at all. And largely, though, winning praise for pushing back on Ireland's $50 billion trade deficit. He didn't push back at all on the attacking language about the EU by Trump, which happened many times during the 50 minutes. And many pundits say that was a wise course not to intervene too much. And it was a freewheeling near hour with Trump sounding off about everything from transgender matters, Chuck Schumer, immigrants, former US presidents, and Micheál just sat there quite calmly. So the Irish press reaction this morning in the newspapers, very kind to Micheál, full of praise for his deft handling of an impossible situation. Although the timing did work out well with things calming down with the Ukraine deal and so on. And job done, says the headline of the Irish Daily Mail this morning. Martin avoids igniting explosive showdown with Trump. He fends off threats on the massive Irish-US trade deficit and our pharma industry and invites the US president to Ireland. And the Irish, well, inside actually as well in the Irish Daily Mail, Martin passes the White House test. Michal gives a masterclass on how to manage Trump's tantrum. That's from John Lee, their group political editor in the Mail. The Irish Sun, I don't want to hurt Ireland is the headline. That's the quote from Trump. And they just basically say, phew, that went all white. And inside there's a bit of praise for Micheál Martin as well. Fionnuala Sheehan, who doesn't hold back in his analysis generally, the Irish Independent says the Taoiseach's self-preservation instincts kicked in and he stuck to the script. There were cringe moments, Fionnuala says. There were awkward instances. There were times when the Taoiseach could have said more and couldn't get a word in edgeways. After his 50 minutes in the Oval Office octagon with Donald Trump, though, Micheál Martin is happy he got out alive. It seems that people are comparing it a lot to the Zelensky meltdown and concluding, well, that went rather well, considering what we know can happen in the White House. And Pat Leahy, who's the political editor of the Irish Times, says Martin's priority was to maintain good relations and avoid a row with the most powerful man in the world, even if he wanted one. From his perspective, that's understandable. And it's hard to see how the interests of the country would be served by provoking a row with the vindictive Trump. So Martin was willing to sit in silence, nodding and smiling, looking perhaps a little supine while his host ran the show. For Martin's detractors, he sat idly and let Trump go on unchallenged. For his supporters, he managed a potentially difficult situation with a display of grown-up, selfless politics. Whatever your take on it, both the country and its leader have emerged without any significant damage. A visit to the Trump White House can end very differently. And actually, in the same newspaper, there's an editorial there, page 11, and it basically says that Micheál Martin might come to regret the laughter and chortling about the housing crisis, given the seriousness of that situation. And we probably won't know much about that until next Wednesday, when the Dáil meet again, and no doubt the opposition. Because the temperature is up between the opposition and Micheál Martin. Usually there's kind of a silent reaction, but there's been a lot of criticism from the opposition, which kind of reflects the climate here in the row about speaking time matters and so on. In terms of the British coverage, it's quite a lot in Britain for occasion, because I know when you talk to Brits about the Irish Day that happens in the White House, they always are very surprised, and it's nearly news to every English person I tell, and I never stop talking about it. The Telegraph basically covers mostly to do with Keir Starmer's reaction to disappointing Trump tariffs, which were global, of course. But inside that article, they talk about President Trump criticising Ireland for using its tax policies to lure away US companies. The Daily Telegraph, with a huge photograph of J.D. Vance's shamrock, very fetching shamrock socks, which he displayed during the breakfast as well. In the other world coverage, the Americans' coverage, not really much coverage in America. There was a little story in the Wall Street Journal, and it's about the Irish Prime Minister went to the White House with a crystal bowl overflowing at Shamrock, and Trump's response was, "We want our companies back." They're pointing out that Donald Trump didn't wear any green at all, and how he's special ire for the EU, repeating on Wednesday the bloc was set up in order to take advantage of the United States. And it's talking about April 2nd being the very big day, which is the day more tariffs will begin, particularly on the EU. And again, mentioning Micheál Martin didn't defend the EU amid the repeated attacks, and talking about how we in Ireland have been filled with hand-wringing over the visit for weeks. The Irish media ran nearly daily articles about the status of the White House invitation, which finally came in late February. Well, that's all true, and it looked like it was very late indeed. And they talk about the pharmaceutical matters there as well. But in Politico, they kind of sum up the whole idea that Micheál Martin took a hit on his dignity in the national interest. Ireland's visiting Prime Minister endured an excruciating 45 minutes in Trump's Live Star chamber as the US leader swings at Brussels but not Dublin. Micheál Martin says, this is Politico, a diplomatic veteran spent long periods sitting in bemused silence, his hands clasped tightly on his thighs and a Mona Lisa smile on his face. Trump beside him spent much of their time bashing the US presidents and former US presidents and Brussels, though aiming no direct hits at Ireland. Martin mostly only spoke to reinforce Trump's preferred language on Ukraine and Israel, to the irritation of left-wing opposition leaders back in Dublin, who had wanted him to denounce Trump's professed support for building a resort in a cleared-out Gaza Strip. The only time Martin politely pushed back was when Trump complained that Ireland had hoovered up far too much US corporate investment, and also describes Micheál as sitting there sphinx-like, which he will be absolutely delighted with, I'd imagine. When it comes to the Fox News. They don't really cover the Irish element to it all. They just talk about how in this meeting, Donald Trump criticised Chuck Schumer, the Democrat effective leader, saying he's become a Palestinian. And also the Rosie O'Donnell incident makes the LA Times. After Rosie O'Donnell's move to Ireland, Trump tells the Irish PM he's better off not knowing who she is. And maybe the harshest coverage is in The Guardian online. The US president showed grudging respect for Micheál Martin, alternately ribbing and complimenting him, while also launching broadsides against the EU. In one of several fawning moments, Micheál Martin pointed out that Ireland had fought against the EU case in the European Court of Justice. That's the reference to the Apple tax case. And then they very meanly highlight that this subsequent private bilateral meeting lasted just 10 minutes. But I mean, like 10 minutes is better than absolutely nothing, which most of the countries of the world are left with. By the way, Rosie O'Donnell, Jimmy Kimmel mentioned the Rosie O'Donnell moment and played the whole clip of Micheál Martin looking absolutely confounded and no idea who she was. But he mostly cracked a joke, not at our expense or the Taoiseach's expense, but how terrible the question was and how long running that feud is between Rosie O'Donnell and Donald Trump, dating back to 2006. For our information, we believe Rosie O'Donnell is somewhere in Dublin. Is now living somewhere in Dublin with her son, possibly Clontarf, although terms and conditions apply. We're not entirely sure. Messages coming in on the WhatsApp. Can I just say how proud we should all be that we've such a great leader in Micheál Martin? He did such a great job representing us Irish. We've a seat at the American table and we quite rightly took it. That's a chest-beating one there. This person says, I work for an American company here in Ireland. Think about what happens if they pull out. What happens to the thousands of us? Micheál did a great job. And someone says, this whole statement of an invite for Trump to Doonbeg is daft. He owns the hotel, for goodness sake. Doesn't need an invite to his own property, for what it's worth. I don't want to see him anywhere near the country at all. And that's from Damien. Now, Micheál Martin has invited him officially to the country. And it was Donald Trump, in fact, who said in his remarks, that, well, we'll meet in Doonbeg. Let's go to Doonbeg. And just kept saying it over and over again. Micheál chortled along. But in actual fact, the last time he came to Ireland as president, when he was coming home from the D-Day commemorations, the 75th anniversary, that was in 2020, the Irish government refused to do the Doonbeg meeting and it happened in Shannon Airport instead, which was much more respectable, you'll understand. It might happen in Doonbeg the next time because the mood has shifted in 5 years. And by the way, with all the focus on that hour, it is nearly gone in the Oval Office. It's nearly gone unnoticed that the rest of the day was a day really full of engagements between Donald Trump and Micheál Martin and very, very warm interactions. I think Donald Trump really warmed up even more because he gave Ireland a bit of a roasting. As kind of affectionate as it was almost in the Oval Office. But the rest of the day, he engaged in the Irishness, I suppose, of the occasion in a way that Barack Obama or George W. Bush certainly never really did. And he was full of charm and fun, especially if you've watched the Capitol Hill lunch remarks, where he actually seemed, this is Donald Trump, properly moved and surprised when he read out the statistic that half of all the Congressional Medals of Honour given to American soldiers for bravery went to those who were Irish or from the Irish diaspora. And because at the start of the day, he noticeably avoided saying the word Taoiseach, which would be difficult for people maybe abroad to say. But by lunchtime at the Capitol Hill, he was giving it a lash for sure.
We welcome Taoiseach, and I love the name because Micheál, but it's Michael. I said, how many people call you Michael? It's exactly Michael. I said, he said about 50%. I said, do you get upset when they do? He said, no, but I'm going to call you Micheál because that's the way it is. Martin, who has really been terrific, I've been with him quite a bit. I've spoken to him quite a bit and we're going to have no problems.
They're the best of friends now. Taoiseach, well, he was a bit shook when he came out of the Oval Office, I'd say. J.D. Vance did a little bit better.
As I was telling the Taoiseach.
Taoiseach, yes, he got it better than Taoiseach, but he gave it a go. And, you know, even by the evening then, because the Shamrock ceremony was back at the White House in the evening, and by this point, he'd been buttered up by Micheál announcing to the world that we all need to go to Doonbeg. Trump said they would meet there, of course. And he was quite funny, I think, Trump, when he was listing out all the cabinet members who are claiming Irish heritage yesterday, suggesting some of them are exaggerating the links, notably Pam Bondi, saying there's no Irish there at all. And, of course, he launched the biggest cheer for the plasticiest, ickiest Paddy of them all.
There's a very special man here that I've been watching a long time. One of the greatest dancers ever in the world. Michael Flatley is around here someplace. There's nobody like this guy. Great, Michael. I've watched him, Radio City, I've watched you a lot, Michael. His feet, the way they moved. I don't know how the hell you do it. Can you still dance like that, or is Father Time caught up? You know, Father Time has never lost. You know that, right? But you're doing great. You look fantastic.
Father Time is coming for us all. Michael Flatley is a big Trump fan. Of course, he performed famously at the inauguration in the first term and notably doesn't mention it when he comes to Ireland. I know it's with Michael Flatley. But anyway, I tell you, if you didn't have a kind of a complex view of J.D. Vance and Donald Trump, watching them yesterday with the lovely, friendly remarks about Ireland, J.D. Vance in his shamrock socks, chatting about his road trip to Cork with his wife, Usha, and Donald Trump affectionately praising the Irish soldiers who died for America, you'd think, you know, these are very congenial sound fellas that you'd hang out with. And you wonder which one is real. Is it the kind of blowhard version who praises Russia and attacks Ukraine, and the man who says childless cat lady with all those insults? Or is it the congenial hosts who have formed the friendly bond with our frowny green tea drinker from Turner's Cross? You do wonder. Indeed. It was a bit of an Irish day. Marco Rubio was doing his press conference in Shannon Airport, all about the progress and the peace talks ahead for the war in Ukraine after the Russian invasion, all happening in Shannon Airport. And also the Irish language was spoken for the first time in the history of Prime Minister's questions in the British House of Commons by the SDLP leader in the Commons, Claire Hanna.
Hi, Ella Fodra, Comedive, August, Shock and the Gilga, Foster, Desh Con Changa, August, our culture, Kellaroo, or Fodden Doan. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody, and happy Irish Language Week as well, an opportunity to use Irish language and culture across the world.
Hanna, wow, that's Claire Hanna of the SDLP, and she also extended an invitation to the British Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, to attend Belfast Fla Ceoil, which, of course, is happening next year. 2026 is going to Belfast, was a good choice, and Keir Starmer accepted, and he's going to go to the Fla Ceoil next year, so that is quite an occasion. And it was the kind of the short history, I suppose, of the Irish spoken in the British House of Commons. She's the first person to speak during PMQs, leaders' questions over there. Although the first recorded use of language in the House was in 1901 by West Kerry MP Thomas O'Donnell, who basically was censured as well by the Speaker of the House at the time. And he was active in promoting Home Rule. He was 18 years an MP for West Kerry, not a fan of Arthur Griffith's Sinn Féin. And then in 2018, the Welsh MP Liz Saville-Roberts spoke in Irish during a debate on the introduction of an Irish Language Act in Northern Ireland. So the Changa all-in gets more and more progress, which is lovely. More messages coming in here. Listening to naysayers since yesterday, I've always maintained that it's easy to be a hurler in the ditch. God bless them, says Kieran. And someone says, is Rosie O'Donnell aware of the challenge in finding a house in Ireland? I'd imagine she's finding out. She's come running out of Trump's America and straight into her arms. I'd say she's finding out. Now, yesterday we gave you the playlist, of course, on for Micheál Martin on how to become pals with Trump and get through the business. And now, of course, we are the best of friends with Trump's nation and with Donald Trump. And the great pals are Micheál and Donald. And it'll be like that, I'm sure, forever. Good morning.